Well, look at this. A snake in the birdhouse.
Oh, yeah. What's up, boys?
What is up?
Snake?
So, I just got back from the veterinarian with one of my dogs who is just, he can't handle going to the vet. It's the scariest place of all time for him.
Right.
And I didn't know if you guys had similar experiences. So from Corby, I will ask, does your dog hate the vet like his life is hanging in the very balance if he walks in those doors?
The first one did. Our first dog would shake, would twerk the whole time he was there, shaking so badly. This one, he doesn't care, man. He's just happy to see different people and go up and not, he's not realizing what the heck is going on. I have to take my dog to the vet tomorrow. Something's up with his ears, man. He has bad ears.
You're lucky. It's so sad.
Like, I know.
He'll sit in the front seat and kind of know where, he doesn't like to go anywhere really, but he knows where the vet is. And I mean, the car almost shakes. He's shaking so bad. It's so sad.
Yeah, I know. It's nothing you can do. Like, you gotta go, bud. Like, come on, man. Let's do it. Yeah. My dog now, he doesn't care. He has no cares about anything.
Are you a dog guy, Matt?
No.
What?
I'm not. I'm not an animal person.
No.
I wasn't like that for a while until we got the first dog. Because I grew up, my dad, he bred pit bulls and they scared me. Mm. So I just didn't feel like I had an affection for the puppy dog. And now I've done a total 180 and I love them all.
Does your wife like dogs, Matt?
Yeah.
But you wouldn't get one?
No, I would never get an animal on my own, but...
But you're not on your own.
Right, but she had a dog when we met, and it passed away, and she hadn't wanted to get another one. I mean, it passed away years ago, and she hadn't wanted to get another one since that happened.
You're not an animal guy.
Yeah.
That's fine. Some people don't like animals. Some people don't like dogs.
If you don't want to own animals, people think that you're the weirdest person on earth.
And I think
Bob's that way. Bob has never owned an animal. Like, never.
Yeah. Dog owners feel it's personal. If another person, they don't like dogs. And it's like, hey, that it happens. I know you.
But it's like you said, Donovan, once you get one, you will love it like you never thought you could. It's almost like having a kid, I think. Yeah. Because, I don't know, I mean, I guess people want kids, whatever. But you think about it and you're like, oh God, I don't want one of these things. But then you're like, oh, okay, cool, you know? Like Craig with his kid now.
Yeah, I think that would have been my mindset as far as going with kids. Because we first said, hey, we'll wait, make sure we're fine. Yeah. And then you start trying and then like, nah, that's not... Even trying's not fun. So if it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, it's all good. And I'm with you. I'm pretty happy with, you know, how we're living now and how things are going. But I will bet you if I did have a kid 19, 20, 21 years ago, I think I would have been a pretty cool dad.
You would have been.
Yeah.
You would have been indeed. From PJ, our boy PJ, what is one hobby you would like to do that you have not done?
Probably play the guitar. I always thought learning a musical instrument would be cool, and there are times where I think, maybe I'll learn how to play guitar, but I'm not going to.
You don't think you ever will?
I don't know, maybe. It just feels like it's so time-consuming in the process. I think it would be very difficult for me to say, I'm going to learn how to play guitar, because in your mind, you're like, oh, in a couple of weeks, I'll be playing guitar, and it'll sound great, and I know that it's not that, and I think it'd be frustrating for me to... Be patient
to get to the level where you would want to get.
Right.
It would definitely take a long time, and you want to know if you're committed. And mine is a musical instrument also. I've always wanted to play the piano. Always. And thought that would be really cool to do, but never did it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that back in the day when I was trying to learn how to play guitar, it was basically 20 minutes a day. For 6 months for me to figure out how to play chords and things like that and then try to sing while I'm playing chords. I mean, I am terrible at it. Terrible. But it doesn't take that long to just learn the basics. You know? Like it... And everybody has 20 minutes a day, I would think.
And it still could be fun, though. Even if you say you're terrible at it, if you pick up a guitar and just kind of start messing around, even though you're not good, that's like me and my golf game. I love it out there. I'm terrible, but it's fun when I'm out there and you want to get better and you want to play, but I just want to go out there and do me with that and not have to worry about it. And I think that's the essence of having a hobby like that. I know I'm not going to play like Prince on the piano anytime at all, but if it was fun and you're just banging on the keys and having a good time, I think that would be great.
It could be.
God, that is my favorite part of Groundhog Day, when he realizes that he's stuck in this day forever. And he's like, well, I might as well take advantage of it. And he like walks into this old lady's house to take a piano lesson. And then they show him like, I don't even know how many days later. And he's playing.
Right.
Like the craziest. Mozart. Like people are dancing around the piano and he's playing. You know, it's so great.
So, Corbin, the only time I've ever thought about maybe not playing golf is when I was being ridiculed at the highest of levels by your youngest. Man, your youngest was putting me through the ringer, dude.
He was like 8.
I know. And just wearing me out to the point where I almost just left the clubs out there on the course and got in my car and I went home. So,
oh my God.
You're raising another bully Davidson over there.
The funniest line is like we're on like number 12 or 13 and we're getting ready to tee off and Van goes, he's like, Donovan, why don't you just go drop your ball in the woods and just save the effort of hitting it?
And you can't do anything but laugh. I'm going to tell him, I will kick your ass, man. But I can't. He's 8.
That's awesome.
It's really funny, dude.
That's fantastic.
Oh, man. Do you see from Texas, do you see in 10 years the Big 12, SEC, and Big 10 forming their own league of football and leaving the rest behind?
I mean, I can see the Big 12, 10. But I was going to say the Big 10 and the SEC, the Big 12 is irrelevant.
Yeah, I mean, I think in the end, I don't know what year it's going to be, but I think that there's going to be, 50 teams,
right?
And that's it.
Some sort of a super league. They've bantied that about. I mean, the proposal for the super league is interesting. I don't know when that's coming down, but it feels like it's inevitable.
Yeah, it'll happen. I don't know if it's in 5 years or 10 years or what, but I think it would be really smart if you're moving to an NFL model, just get rid of the stupid conferences and just have everything homogenized as far as the TV deal goes. Okay, so you have the 50 teams. There's an equal split among the 50. And, you know, the SEC and Big Ten may never do it, but if you want to just kind of get to the point where everything is equal, which it should be. Like, I don't know why it's the big stick your chest out and like, look at us, what conference we're in. Like, you're all in the same thing. You're all shooting for the same goal. Just make it all the same.
You would still have to have some type of conference division type of something.
Well,
even if you broke off with that.
Yeah. Of course you would. And you know, you could figure it out if it's an NFL model with four or five teams in a division and so on. But it is. We just live in this world where we're so used to conferences in college football that it's going to be tough to get out of that.
Well, basketball and hockey have thrown that to the side now, and you're wondering when that's going to happen with the NFL and baseball. Like, American League and National League should just go away.
Well, they might.
No,
because it's all
the
same rules. Like, it was a big difference. That's why you had the separation, and now it's not, and everyone plays everyone. Who cares?
Right.
Yeah. No, I totally agree. From David, am I the only one who's starting to get Dave Campo vibes from Schottenheimer? Happy-go-lucky guy, clearly not the one running the team, looking more and more like he's in over his head. I really, truly hope that I'm wrong, but I'm the only one starting to connect these dots.
I don't get that from Schottenheimer, like, not knowing what he's doing.
Yeah, I don't get that either.
Well, I think Campo knew what he was doing. I just think that he had no team. I mean, Jimmy could have coached that team from whatever years that was, 99 to 01 or 2000 to 2002, he wouldn't have done any better. Like, that team was terrible.
You're right. Because the drafting was terrible leading up to it. They just didn't have any talent.
No.
At least there is some talent on this team. And I feel like Schottenheimer, I know we kind of marvel at him saying all the right things and winning the offseason, but it does appear that he has some semblance of, all right, we just got to put this together, and he's going to take his lumps also. It's not like he's going to be perfect the first time he's ever been able to do this. So
yeah,
it's an interesting thought as far as comparing those two. But if you put those two in front of me and said, pick a coach, I'm definitely picking Schottenheimer over Campo.
It is kind of weird, too. There seems to be this idea that we just expect Schottenheimer's going to come in, and if he doesn't immediately go out and make the playoffs and win 12 games, he sucks. He's a horrible hire.
That's the problem with this team, and it has been forever, is that there's no back down as far as saying, you know what, we're taking a year or two to rebuild the roster and get better. Which is, every team goes through that,
right,
clearly.
Right.
You know? I mean, just... if you admit it and the fan base is like, okay, I get it. We have a plan here. We're working for the next couple of years to get to a point where we're going to maximize the last couple of years of Dak. But right now we're not ready, which they're not. They're not ready, but they won't admit it. And so therefore, if they don't go 12-5, people are like, whatever, suck.
Yeah, it makes no, I mean, Dan Campbell, his first year in Detroit, they were horrible, but he turned it around.
Who says that?
Everyone.
Every Cowboy fan.
He's
know
right.
It.
I just didn't know if it was the direct quote, though. Whatever. Suck.
But that's, you're right, though, because if they don't win the Super Bowl this year, this team's not anything. They're not any good. And it's like this random expectation to win the Super Bowl in a year. Hell, if they make the playoffs, I'd be thrilled.
Man, call me crazy and call me naive, though. I think everyone's kind of buckling in and realizing that it's not a Super Bowl or bust type of mentality that you have to have around here. I think that's going toward the fact that it's reality of that. You could maybe surprise some people and have a winning record, but that's going to be the surprise.
Yeah.
And if you set those expectations like that, I think you'll be okay. You won't be as disappointed. But just to think, oh, we got to make the playoffs or this thing is just, it's ridiculous. It's the same old thing. Well, it's not.
Yeah.
Every year is different.
Hypothetical, would you rather watch all day coverage of the Kelce Swift wedding or the Eagles Super Bowl win followed by all three Cowboys preseason games uninterrupted?
Oh, that's my gosh.
I would watch Kelce.
Yeah, I would watch the wedding.
Okay, yeah, because the wedding is all okay, but it's all day coverage. So it's like, let's take you back to week one when they met and they fell in love.
I'd rather watch that than preseason football.
Probably they'd show some concert footage. That'd be great. You can enjoy that.
I'd watch the Eagles Super Bowl. That wouldn't bother me. But just, you threw in the preseason games, and that automatically made me switch to watching all day coverage of Kelce Swift.
Do you remember, Donovan, when Princess Diana got married to Prince Charles?
How huge that was.
I mean, like, my sister, I feel like that, I almost feel like she skipped school or something. Like, every girl was so locked in on that, and moms too.
That wasn't on a weekend?
Maybe it was.
I feel like it was like a Friday night into Saturday morning.
No, you're right.
Difference.
You're right. Kate, it had to have been. That's when Kate married on weekends.
Was it William? Prince William, the oldest one?
Huh?
When Kate Middleton and him got married and women were waking up in the middle of the night here to watch that wedding?
Yeah. Well, dude, I'm telling you, I don't know what the numbers were for the Princess Diana wedding, but it was back in a time when there were only, you know, four channels. I swear, I'm sure in the UK that 90% of TVs were tuned into it. It seems like that everyone in the United States was watching that as well. It was such a big deal.
I feel like I was, like, we were out on a Friday night and went over to a friend's house and they had it on television. We all sat around and watched a portion of it. I think that was the case.
The Guinness Book of World Records for the largest television audience for a wedding, and this is worldwide, okay, is that wedding, Prince Charles to Lady Diana, was seen by an estimated 750 million people in 74 countries.
He does not.
I mean, think about that for a second.
750 million.
Why did we care? What was the big deal?
It's a royal wedding.
And wasn't
That's
she?
Huge.
She was basically a commoner, and he picked her. And
right.
He wanted to be with that other lady, but they didn't want him to be. And so. Here
yeah,
they are.
But.
I mean, I set an alarm and woke up to watch USA Men's Olympic Basketball. So I'm not going to make fun of anyone setting an alarm to get up and wake up something that they like. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Yeah, you get up, you set an alarm to watch tennis.
I do, for the Australian Open. I'll get up in the middle of the night to watch it. So
well, there you
I
go. Don't. So that's your lady die?
Yeah, that's your royal wedding. Tennis.
Right. Yeah. No, I get it. I'm a loser too, just like they are.
I don't think there's anything I'd set an alarm for to wake up in the middle of the night to watch.
Yeah, you would. You absolutely would.
I set an alarm and watch Mavericks.
If there was a Cowboy game that happened in the middle of the night, you're getting up to watch it.
And you were out of the, let's say you were out of the country for a Cowboy game.
Why would I be out of the country?
Take your mind there, you idiot.
I don't even have a passport. You guys are making up two. This is a crazy ass hypothetical. You know what I'm talking about?
I'm going to punch you in the face.
How am I getting to another country?
I woke up in the middle of the night to watch Mavericks Celtics in the NBA Finals.
That's right,
I was
did.
In Ireland.
Yeah.
And I'm proud of it.
All right, you
definitely would do that. There's not a chance in hell that I would wake up and miss a NBA Finals game with my favorite team in it, no matter where I was in the world.
But I wouldn't set an alarm to watch a wedding. That's just not happening.
No.
What if it's my wedding? They were broadcasting it on like the
BBC. I would
BBC.
Get divorced before I got married, if that was the case. If I had to
would
get
you
up
set an alarm to watch your divorce? Divorced.
Yes, I would. Sign here and here and
coverage.
See you later.
And there it is. My God, she did get the house. Unbelievable.
You just have a couple of ladies outside waiting for you as you walk off. Thank you.
Exactly.
Holding up the poster boards and stuff.
All right, Snake. Thank you, P1s.
We'll see you, boys.
That's the birdhouse.